Thanks for listening to the Catalyst Church podcast. We exist to help people find and follow Jesus, and we trust that this message will help you do just that. If God has been using our ministry in your life, would you consider partnering with us in a few ways? First, follow us on social media to stay up to date on all we have going on at Catalyst Woodland. Second, we have found that positive reviews on Google or Facebook go a long way in how their algorithms choose who to promote online. Would you take some time and leave us a review on those platforms? It's amazing how just a few minutes of time can translate to such a huge impact when people are looking for a church. Again, thanks for listening in, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is good to have you guys with us today. If you don't know, I'm hoping you do. I'm a bit assuming that you do. Know that we are starting this new series, When Darkness Comes. And so this is going to be a look at a variety of different things, mental health related, anxiety, depression, suicide, some very difficult things, some very dark things. And my guess is that you have either experienced one of these things directly or know someone who has, someone who's in your family, friend, neighbor, coworker, whatever it may be. I think we live in a day and age where the stigma is far from gone, but it's definitely better than it was. And so people are talking about this more than they used to. And so you may know someone who's been wrestling with this. And my guess is I would wager a lot of money to say that you do know someone who's wrestling with it. You may just not know they're wrestling with it. You know what I'm saying? And so as we walk into this series, I know that this can be difficult, that some of you have had that just crippling anxiety, that dark depression that just never seems like it's going to go away, or some of you and your family or your friends have been stung with the reality of suicide. And so this is difficult stuff, and I want to let you know that first and foremost, if you're struggling with this, our heart breaks for you. We've been praying for you and trying to do everything we can in our power to help and to provide resource. That's why I'm so excited about this mental health forum that we got coming together and these professionals from around Yolo County and Sacramento who are very excited to help us out and be a part of this. We're still trying to figure out how that's going to look. We're leaning towards making that kind of an online thing. But nonetheless, we want to try to do the best we can. I would encourage you to do your best to be here over the next 4 weeks. Just to make the commitment to be here. Here's a fun stat for you that you probably didn't know. On average, someone who calls Catalyst their home church attends 1.4 Sundays a month. That's fun fact. So if you're here, a ton of you just got super arrogant. You're like, well, I've been here twice. So yeah, relax, okay? It's not, all right. So we have 600 people who call Catalyst home. We just see 1.4 of them every now and again. Another thing is if you're listening on our podcast audience, try to be here over the next few weeks. Here's another thing. Our podcast audience is actually bigger than our weekend audience. So we have more people listen online than we do during the week because they're slackers. But there are only elements that we are only going to be able to experience like here in this service. So we've got some cool things that we're going to be doing over the next few weeks. We got someone who's getting baptized next Sunday, someone who's getting baptized the Sunday after that. And then on May 19th, when we address the issue of suicide, I'm telling you, bring your tissues, powerful stuff. Someone's going to share their story. And we got some neat stuff we're trying to cook up for that just to bring some hope. So that has been my hope and prayer for this whole series. So let me give you an overview. Today is going to be kind of a foundation. As I said, it's a place to start. So we're going to lay a foundation today. The next week, we're going to go anxiety, then depression on Mother's Day. We got a powerful story, some postpartum depression. Someone's going to share their story. And then suicide on May 19th. So we've got a lot coming, but I wanted to let you know that when you fight darkness, it has this weird tendency to fight back. I don't know if you've ever tried to do this, but when you fight it, it tends to rear back and kick back pretty hard, and our staff has seen it this week just in everything that we've been dealing with, and even this morning trying to get things up off the ground. But we have hope in what the Apostle John says in John 1, 4, and 5. This is what he says. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, him being Jesus. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That the darkness, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you came in here with, it's no surprise to Jesus. He has overcome it. He has made a way. There is hope to be found. But let me tell you also this, there's no quick fix. And so if you were coming this morning hoping for like three steps to a better tomorrow or like four ways to make your Monday sunnier or something like that, I don't have that for you. I hope that a lot of the stuff we're going to talk about is helpful and hopeful, but there is no just one shot, snap your fingers, one sermon, one song, and ta-da, and everything's better. Like it doesn't work like that. This is a journey. This is a long journey, and for some of you, you feel kind of like the biblical character of Job, where it's just wave after wave after wave, and it just never seems to end. And so before we dive in, let's pray. And then we will kind of begin our time together. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for these moments where we can come and be encouraged by your word and by your son's victory over death on the cross that we celebrated this last week. God, for whatever people walked in here with, God, my heart breaks for them. And I pray that you would do a great work over these next few weeks to help those who are struggling to see victory, to see those who have a friend or a neighbor or a family member who is struggling, give them the tools to speak hope and life into those situations. God, we trust you to do what only you can do. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, so I figured it would probably be a good idea to start this whole thing, to kick this whole thing off by telling you a little bit of where this whole series came from. And just try to be as open and vulnerable and transparent as I can, because a lot of this stems out of my own personal story. And something that I've wrestled with my entire life and been a part of it and just been in it and my struggle to want to do something to help, not only my personal story, but some of you may not know, I also work as a chaplain for the Woodland Police Department. And so that means anytime something horrible in our city and county happens, I show up. So I have been sitting next to family members who have had someone take their life more times than I care to admit or talk about. It is difficult, and so I see the pain that's going on in our city and in our community and in our world, and I want to do our best to address it. But when I was about 8 or 9 years old, I started to develop this little over-the-top anxiety. Like, there's a kid being nervous, and then there's a kid, like, kind of going a little too far, and that was me. I would get all wrapped up with this stuff and just unnecessarily anxious over things, and it began to affect my body in a way where I had this a tick that I developed in my right eye. Some of you who know me, you've seen it a couple times. It's still around. It's still something I deal with, but it's very different than it was. And so it started as just a blink, just in my right eye. And so for a while, my parents thought that it was connected to something else. Another fun fact about me, there's a bit of a NICU accident when I was a little baby that caused me to have virtually no UV protection in my eyes. So when I walk outside, I have to put sunglasses on to see, like, y'all. And if I don't, my eyes immediately shut. There's nothing I can do about it. And so they thought it was something connected to that. And they were like, oh, yeah, you know, no big deal. And so I just went on with my life. And, you know, I think the stigma is getting better. But 30, 40 years ago, you don't talk about that. You're struggling with something. You certainly don't bring it to the church. And so we just went along with it. Go through elementary school, middle school, high school, college. As I'm going through middle school and high school, it begins to get worse. Because that's, you know, when real stress, it always, I don't think we have any two young kids in here. It's always funny when, like, my 7-year-old's like, oh my gosh, I'm so stressed. I'm like, son, okay. You, oh man, get ready, boy, because it's going to get way worse. Like, your life, you get born and then it's just a quick ride downhill. But anyway, so I got more and more stressed, and it began to, like, take over my whole face to where this is what would go on right here. Constant. Imagine how fun that is going through middle school and high school. I mean, people, a lot of encouraging things to say, a lot of very self-esteem building. They're very kind, very nice. Like, oh, what are you struggling with? I'm like, well, yeah, anyway. So I go through all this, And then I get into my college years, and it's just, it's unbearable. Like, I can't do my job. The only times it would calm down, I had two times when it would calm down. Oddly enough, when I was public speaking to a big group, or when I was playing music. Other than that, constant. And so I decided that, you know, I should go see a doctor. So I went to see a doctor, the eye doctor, every other doctor, and they're like, no, you're fine. You check out, you're good, you're fine. And then one doctor stopped me and he said, you should stop working on this and maybe try this. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, it's my eye. He goes, eh, okay. I'm like, no, but I'm fine. It's no big deal. He's like, okay, I'm just telling you, you might want to consider talking to a counselor or a therapist and just, you know, just try it out. Okay, fine. So in an egotistic, like, try to get him off my back to prove him wrong, I went and saw one. And so first session, he sits me down and he asked me the question that if you've ever been to a counselor or therapist, they'll ask you, say, so, you know, is there any family history with this? And I was like, no, I don't think so. So we went through the first session, we ended. And as I was leaving, he said, hey, so just do me a favor, call your parents, find out, just get your mind around this, and we'll come back next week. I said, okay, cool. So I called my mom, and I spoke to her this week to get her approval to say all this. I called my mom, and I said, hey, mom, my face thing. She's like, yeah, it's pretty obvious, son. I'm like, no, don't be hurtful. And I wanted to know, like, is there any of this, like, in the family? She goes, oh, sweetheart. Yeah, you got a pen? It's like, what? So she begins to lay out, I actually found out more this week, more part of the story I didn't know, but she begins to lay out our family history. She starts back with my great-grandmother, like 100 years ago. She had a mental break, and she ended up in a mental institution, and that was kind of her story. It's like, okay. She's like, well, and your grandmother? Yeah, she's struggled with this stuff for her whole life, severe depression, anxiety. She had a mental break when I was young, went into a facility for weeks and weeks and weeks, still struggles with it to this day. Okay. She's like, and me? I'm like, what about you? She said, I've been on medication and struggled with this my whole life. And when you were very young, I had a mental break and you didn't really know. And she did actually a couple years ago again. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that changes the game a little bit, doesn't it? So I went back to the doctor and I was like, hey, learn some stuff. And he was like, I knew you would. And and so I started like kind of going through everything. And so that started a journey that has gone on to this day of dialing in medications and therapy and counseling and to try to get this kind of under wraps. And it's okay. It's better than it was. But on Friday, I was sitting in that office, sitting at my desk, trying to prepare this and just feeling the weight of this. As I'll tell you, that it, even just preaching in first service, just the heaviness of the room was different than normal. And if you've been around Catalyst, or like, it's, just so you know, if you haven't, this series will feel a little different than others. Usually when I start, I kind of have this, you know, comical, funny story that connects like the big idea to a little personal life story, and then I kind of go in, and this is not that. There's not a lot of that feels appropriate, so we're just not going to do that for the next couple weeks. So I was sitting in my office just trying to hold the weight of all this, and I felt this soul crushing, like an elephant was sitting on my, I couldn't breathe, my hands were tingly, I was shaking, like, and some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, it was just, it was awful. So this is a real thing for me. This isn't just like somehow I opened a book or I read you know, someone else's, you know, sermon series. Like, oh, that'll be fun to do. Like, no, this is something that God is doing and actively working in me that I want to try to work it out as a community. But there are some problems. And usually they come in one of two forms. The first is that we either oversimplify or we over-spiritualize the struggle. So here's just an example of how we oversimplify. Just take a drug, man. It's no big deal. Just meet with a doctor, get a pill. Now, hear me. There's some of you that there is a God-ordained grace of God for medication and you need to go see a doctor. There's some stuff that's not right. Chemicals not right in your brain. You need to go get it fixed. There's a time and a place and a season for that, but that is not the ultimate fix for everything. You don't just throw pills at stuff. But people say that. Oh, you seen that? Man, I got to make medication. It's awesome. We oversimplify. It's no big deal. Or just calm down. Just relax. Why are you getting all like worked up? Just relax, man. Or, hey, man, you seem really depressed. Like, be happy. I'm trying, right? Like, I'm trying to calm down. I'm trying. And it's the most frustrating thing. When you are anxious and you're trying to calm down and someone just tells you, man, just relax. I'm trying. I'm doing everything in my power to relax. I just can't. I'm trying. Or we over-spiritualize, and this is even worse. We'll say things like, oh, man, you just need someone just to pray on you. You don't have enough faith. Oh, you want to see me pissed off? Tell someone who's struggling with something in regards to this whole situation that they don't have enough faith. That they're not a good enough Christian, that God has somehow abandoned them. That'll set me on. I need to move on because I'm already getting angry. Or do they do stupid, like, here, there's a verse. Like, look, Philippians 3, don't be anxious, so don't be. Right? Oh, God. Anyway, all right, moving on. So to avoid these extremes, what we need to do is we need to take a balanced approach. And so what I want to try to do, at least today, is to kind of lay the foundation, all right, to lay the balanced approach on which we will stack all the other things. So I believe there are three things that we need to understand about the darkness. I've done the heavy lifting for you. They're all D's. So, okay, that's just how we'll do this. The first is this. The darkness comes from our depravity. Now, very specific that I use the word our. Our meaning all of us. Our meaning you, me, every single person. Our meaning everyone included. If you go back to Genesis, to the origin of the universe, of the world, of what we know to be humanity. God created everything, and he created us in his image. And there were two phrases that he used to define those things, good and very good. And it was perfect, and it was great, and it was awesome, and all our needs were met. And God said, man, everything is perfect, and in my grace, and in my benevolence, and in my love for you, I'm going to give you the opportunity to walk away from me if you want. You don't have to, but I want to be gracious and give you free will, so I'm going to let you do it if you want. And so there's this tree over here. You can do whatever you want. I mean, literally anything, but please just don't touch that tree, because you already know what goodness is, but if you touch that tree, you're going to introduce evil. And you will have full knowledge of good and evil, so your call. And Adam and Eve did what we continue to do this day. We look at the perfection of God and we say, I think I can do better. Or we see the plan of God and go, I don't know about that. I mean, that's a good shot, but I've been thinking about this for a minute, right? And we think we can do better. We think we can out-God God. And so they went and they partook and they entered sin in, and we see where things like anxiety and egotism and murder and greed and suicide and all these things came flooding into humanity and began to take over. Now, if you could look at me and go, oh, hey, easy. Okay, that's not me. Hey, I wasn't the one who ate the apple. It's not my fault. And I, you know, hey, that was her. It was a woman, clearly. It says it in the book. Like, I don't know. I've been a pastor for a while, and I've never once had anyone sit down with me and honestly say, yeah, I've never done anything wrong, okay? So every single person, when I say our, it's our. It's all of us. We've all participated in walking away from God, and it may sound trite, but I think it's profoundly true that you can't understand how good something is until you understand the bad in which that good is trying to be introduced. And so what Christians believe is that Adam's sin was passed down throughout generations like this systemic terminal spiritual disease. There's a theological term for it. It's called total depravity. That we all together have participated. Total depravity is the reason why you don't have to teach kids to be jerks. Right? They just somehow know it inherently. When your kid starts talking, what's the first word they learn? No. Who taught them that? The devil. The devil taught them that. The Bible teaches that, and I believe it. No. And some of you, who taught you to lie like you do? Maybe you had some weird uncle or parents or something that taught you to lie, but I never had an experience when I had a family member sit down and be like, okay, look, kid, man, you are terrible at lying. Let me help you out. No one taught you how to do that. No one taught you how to be manipulative. No one taught you how to be deceptive. You just somehow inherently know it. Why is that? Because of total depravity and what the Apostle Paul writes in the book of Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through that sin, and so death spread to all men because who? All sinned. Every single one of us. Total depravity, it explains the fallen world that we live in. And it's one of those things that I kind of lean upon for when people always say, like, man, well, why do we live in this world we do? Well, why are kids suffering? Why do people go hungry? Why do people do terrible things to these? Why? Well, because we live in a fallen and broken world. And that until Christ comes again, this is the world that we live in. And it's what makes the beauty and the hope of the gospel so beautiful. Total depravity, though, there's the other side of the coin where it also explains why our desire to have self-salvation, to be our own savior, to rescue ourselves, to do more, to be better, is, in the end, futile. Because we can't. There's nothing that we can do to overcome the darkness. We're not just sick. We are dead in transgression. Your desire to be better and how you just keep struggling and can't seem to overcome, it's not because of lack of your willpower. It's not. It's because you are born into a spiritual death. It's what the Apostle Paul also says in Ephesians, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins. The biggest implication for all of this is that humanity needs a savior. Is that we can't do this on our own. And Jesus is that savior. He does offer hope. He does offer victory. He does offer a way out. But we still have to live in this broken world. And some of you, I want to be clear about this. Because I can imagine the question in your head, like, okay, well, if I follow Jesus, this all goes away, right? I don't know. I wish I could tell you yes. I wish I could stand up here and say, yes, trust in Jesus, everything changes, you're fine, everything goes away. We live in a broken world. We can have hope. And that's what changes. There's a hope and a joy that comes even in the midst of the most dark places. Why do people who trust in Jesus get set free? And we'll talk about that in a minute. Why do people who follow after Jesus still struggle with this? I don't know. I wish I did. I don't. But what I do know is that Jesus does set people free. And the reminder is that we live in a fallen world and are powerless to overcome it on our own. Some of you, listen to me, some of you, you're trying to do this on your own. There's something about anxiety and depression and mental health that is very isolating. Like you want to just say, you know what, I'll just forget the world. I'll just deal with this. I can't tell my friend. They'll look at me differently. They'll judge me. And there's this very kind of isolating solo, I'll just deal with this on my own. I won't bring anyone in. That is exactly what Satan would have you do. Do it on your own. That's the lie, that you can do this on your own. You can't. I do not actually believe it is physically possible to be fully set free from this stuff apart from the hope of Jesus. You can have some peace for a season, but fully set free from the darkness of this world, don't actually think it's possible. Number two, that darkness can come from our own decisions. Now, I got to be very careful with this one, and that's why I put the word can. It can come. Not saying it always does, but I am saying that sometimes it can, because sinful decisions create patterns in our life. There's this whole idea of neural pathways. I don't know if you guys have read up on this, but neural pathways where after you make a decision, strangely enough, it becomes easier mentally, neurochemically, to make that same decision again. That's why we continue to make the same dumb decisions. That's why addicts who have a very deep V that thing's carved into, it's so hard to get out of that. It's so difficult because you're carving decisions in your brain. Well, one of the things that I hear a lot is that science and the Bible, they don't reconcile. And if you believe science, then you got to kick out the Bible. And if you believe the Bible, you got to kick out science. The more we investigate, the more we live, the more we uncover stuff, the more we actually come to find that the Bible and science actually fit very well together. There's this whole new thing that's been discovered called neuroplasticity, that you actually can retrain your brain, that you actually can rewire the way that you think, and it's not easy. Have you ever tried to like drive a car that's way out of alignment, and you're like holding it just to get it to go straight? It's like that. It's like, you're like, come on, get there. You're just trying so hard to make new pathways and make new choices and make new decisions. But Paul, in Romans 2,000 years ago, said this: do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal. Other way to translate that, the retraining of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You can retrain your brain. And if you are a follower of Christ and you've placed your faith and trust in Christ, it is on you. Paul would compel you. No, you got to change the way you think. You can't think the way you used to think. You can't keep telling yourself those old same lies. You've got to begin to retrain your brain. But decisions get us into problems in one of really two ways. The first is that, not yet, the first is that there are decisions that you make and that I make. And those are decisions, and listen to me, I'm going to try to be as gentle but as blunt as I can with this, that some of you, you're not dealing with depression and mental health clinically, you're dealing with the consequences of a terrible choice. That the reason you're feeling shame and guilt is because you're making horrible choices. Stop making horrible choices. I understand that things are difficult, but there are things that we just bring upon ourselves. We just keep making horrible choices, and we're blaming it on God. That's not God. That is choices that you have made, and there are natural consequences for those choices. But then, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, there are some of you that there are some decisions that you didn't make and you're living with. Some of you, that's how you were raised. The way that your mom or dad did or didn't treat you, like they made some horrible choices and you're living that out. You have consequences of someone else's sin, someone else's choice that was carried out on you, and you didn't choose that. You didn't invite that. But that's just how it was. And God can set you free. Very good friend of mine, his name is Joel White. He's a pastor. Saw him a couple weeks ago, and we were just chit-chatting. Hey, how's it going? He's like, man, never been better. I'm like, never been better? People don't say that. So tell me about that. He goes, well, you remember last year at the conference? So what he was describing is what happened last year. There's this pastor. His name is Paul Taylor. And he got up, and he was giving this talk. And as he was giving the talk, he was just I forget what he was even speaking about. Wasn't even that good. No, I'm kidding. He was fine. So he was speaking and talking, and then he pauses in the middle, which is strange, and says, hey, there's someone in this room who God just wants to tell you, you got a blind spot, and you can't see it because that's the point of a blind spot, or you can't see it. And if you don't deal with it, it's going to ruin yourself, or it's going to ruin your family, and it's going to ruin your church, so you need to fix it. All right, and then he went on. And the vast majority of the people in the room was like, well, that was strange. And we just went about our life. So he, a couple weeks ago, was telling me this story. He says, yeah, so when he said that, I was like, I tried to shake it, but I couldn't shake it. I felt like he was speaking to me. So I went home and was talking to my wife. And she said, so how was the conference? What were the speakers? How did it go? I said, oh, it was fine. And who spoke? Paul spoke. Oh, Paul, I love Paul. What did Paul say? He goes, well, he's talking about this, but then he said this thing about like a blind spot, and I didn't know like if he was speaking to me. She's like, oh yeah, he was speaking to you 100%. Isn't it interesting like how the voice of God and our spouse, like it kind of, anyway. But he was like, oh yeah, no, that's absolutely you. And he was like, okay, thanks for that. And so he just kind of sat with that for a bit. And so the next day, good friend of his calls. He hadn't spoken to in a while. They were like long distance. They'd check in, but hadn't like spoken the phone in years. He calls him up. He says, "Hey, man, have you ever had like a Holy Spirit download?" He's like, "No, that's weird." Because, you know, maybe some of you, like, if you were raised in like a more fundamental Baptist tradition, it's like the Father, Son, and Holy Scriptures. Like, the Holy Ghost is this weird uncle, like, you don't really know. Like, he does weird stuff, and some people think he does really weird, and you're like, we'll just put you over there, right? And so that's how my friend was raised. He's like, the Holy Spirit thing, I don't know. He goes, "Well, can I just share with you?" And listen, just come over to my house. I'll tell you just what I believe God was speaking to me while I was praying. And if it's weird, that's cool. You can ignore me and that's fine. But if it's something, you know, we can work on it together. He's like, "Okay, cool." So he goes over to his house. He sits down and he's like, "So I was praying for you the other day. And I got this vision clear as day of you in middle school being brought up on stage and being ridiculed and used as a negative example of how not to live by your youth pastor in front of all your friends. And when that happened, darkness just gripped your heart, and this depression that you've been dealing with, and just all this, I mean, insane weight gain that he's, I mean, just all this stuff that you've been dealing with is a result of that. And I just want to let you know God wants to set you free." And my friend just started bawling. He had never told anyone that story. Not even his wife, but it absolutely happened. In the middle of his seventh grade year, his youth pastor thought he was being funny and pulled him out of a crowd and put him up on stage and said, "You want to know how to walk away from God and be blah, blah, blah," and started ripping him a new one. And so he left that night and has been struggling with depression and anxiety ever since. And so he went home, told his wife, went to a counselor, therapist, and started working on this stuff. And God set him free. He said, "After I walked out of his house, I haven't had any single depression, anxiety, nothing from that moment on. God set me free." And God can do that. Listen to me. As much as I believe there's no quick fix, there's no one snap your fingers thing, I also in the same breath believe that we serve a God who can. Who he can set you free. Now, why doesn't he? I don't know. But I do know that he's capable. I've seen him do it. I've seen him do it in this place. I've seen him do it with some of you. I've seen it where God does take the terrible decisions that we have and redeem them and set people free. And so what do we learn from this is these two things. Is that repent of your sin. Some of you just need to come to the place where you say, "God, I am sorry for just, I'm walking away from you. And I am struggling with the consequences of a decision that I'm making." And then others of you is to retrain your brain, is to begin to think differently. Think differently. The third one is this, that darkness can come from deception. So the other one can come from decisions, can. I'm using can again. It can come from deception. That is lies of the enemy. There is a reality to spiritual warfare, to demonic presence, to spiritual forces that are trying to go against you and to try to get you to go against God. It is a reality. And as much as we don't want to face it, as much as we don't want to deal with it, it is a reality. And sometimes Satan attacks. Little bio on Satan, if you've never kind of read into this, is Satan was an angel. He was one of God's leaders. He was the music and worship leader. It's always the musician. But anyway, no, I'm kidding. People would say that to me all the time, like, "Oh, you're the worship leader," like the devil. And anyway, so he decided one day that, you know what, looking at all of this glory going from us to you is pretty sweet. I also am pretty sweet. And it'd be cool if maybe we could, like, share it. Maybe, like, 50-50, 60-40, 70-30. I want some of this is cool. I want people to praise me. And God, in his holiness, was like, "No, man, that's not how this works. I'm God, you're not. Nah, I don't share my glory with anyone." And so that didn't go well. And so Satan was cast out of heaven, and a third of the demons decided as well that glory should be going to other places than God and followed him. And from that point forward, we wrestle with the spiritual forces of evil in this world. Paul says it in Ephesians 6:12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." There's a reason why Satan is called the father of lies. He wants to lie to you. He wants to tell you things that are not true about you. And listen to me, some of you, you need to hear me say this. Your diagnosis is not your identity. Just because you struggle with anxiety does not mean you are an anxious person. Just because you have this weight of depression does not mean, oh, you're a lost cause, you're a depressed person. Just because you have wrestled with the thoughts of suicide does not mean that that is who you are. There is hope to have something more in this world than what Satan would have you believe. It is a lie. It is a lie. And so how do you combat that? Well, I really only know two ways. Is the Holy Spirit and wise counsel. You know that weird uncle I was talking about? We're going to spend some time on the Holy Spirit during this series. We're going to speak more about it in the series to come over the summer. But the Spirit of God is the Spirit that resides within your soul and with your spirit when you hand over your life to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I don't want to run this show anymore. I want you to run the show. I recognize you are God and I am not, and I just want to follow you. In that moment, God gives you his spirit, and his spirit is a comfort to you. It advises you, counsels you. You know, and Christians describe it as different ways, kind of a nudge, a yearning, a leaning, a sense, an impulse. It's all different, but just a presence of God in your life. But then also, wise counsel. Some of you need better friends. I'm sent by God to tell you that. You have terrible counsel. You just do. Here's a way to tell how you have terrible counsel. If you're always sharing your life with people and you're never wrong, you don't have wise counsel. If no one ever goes, that's a terrible choice, those people aren't wise counsel. People who are wise counsel in your life push back on you. And they say, that is not a good call. I wouldn't do that at all. Some of my closest friends are the most frustrating people in my life because they don't let me get away with stuff. Some of you, you've surrounded yourself with people who let you get away with terrible stuff. You need wise counsel. And some of you, listen to me, that wise counsel is a doctor. That wise counsel is a therapist. Men, go see a therapist. Go see a counselor. Oh, no, but I'm fine. No, you're not. You're not. Stop saying that you are. It's all this machismo of like, no, I got it. I can't be weak. I can't, share my feelings. You know what? You know what is weak? Is to have these things going inside of you and not be willing to talk about it, because you're going to ruin your family and ruin your career and ruin the people around you because you won't talk about it. Some of you need to just do what you need to do and go call a counselor and go talk about some of these things. Maybe medication's in there, maybe it's not, I don't know. But you need to go talk. You need to have someone who's trained as a professional on how to help you rewire your brain, walk you through some of this stuff. That's what they're there for. It's amazing. If I could do one thing and just snap my fingers, it would have everyone talk to a therapist and counselor. A lot of people substitute me as that. I am not one. I can get you started in the right direction. We have a list of counselors and therapists and stuff in the county that we've kind of vetted and that we know and that we trust. If you want that list, email us and we can put it out there. But some of you, you need help, and don't isolate yourself. One of the things that someone asked me a fantastic question this last week. They said, how do I know? How do I know what is the enemy and what's the enemy? How do I know? I don't know that you can, to be honest with you. And so here's what I've done. Here's what I would recommend and what I do recommend. Fight both. If you need to pray and you need to invite God to be in the space to set you free, and do that. If you need to go talk to a counselor to get some chemicals in your brain right and get some stuff worked out and deal with your traumatic childhood and deal with your ex and deal with it, then go and do that. And do both. And do them as hard as you can, because if not, it's going to ruin you. Do both. My whole life I've done both. When I sat in that office and just that weight just bearing down on me, I at the same moment was doing all the little tips and tricks that my counselors and therapists told me to do, and do all the little exercises and do all the little brain little things to make me calm down, at the exact same time that I was pleading with the Spirit of God to give me a spirit of peace. And then I did. Which worked? I don't know. Both. Both. And sometimes we can walk these one lanes and protect ourselves from actually full freedom and healing because we're not willing to just dive all in and say, this is a spiritual thing and a physical thing. This is a God thing. This is a me thing. This is a thing. It just, yes. Well, is it this? Yes, is my answer. And so dive all in. And so I want to end today, this service, the same way that I ended the last. One of the things that I sometimes struggle with is kind of how to land the plane. Like, how do you land this plane? Like, we just like, all right, well, you know, just walk off. Like, what, you know, how, anyway. So I was trying to think about it. And then this morning as I was praying, it just, a thought came to me. And so we're going to do it. Now, here's the thing. It involves participation. Now, here's the thing I can encourage you. This isn't going to get weird, so don't be worried. But I will say, we're all going to do this together, because when everyone does it, it's not weird, right? Okay, so are we all in this together? Okay, so not weird at all, but just I hope this is helpful to you. I hope this is helpful to you. Just do me a favor. As we close in prayer, would you just take your hands and just put them on your lap, just face up? Just as a physical, tangible sign of letting some of this stuff go. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to give you some space just in the quietness of your heart to pray. Whatever you want to say to God, I'm not going to put words in your mouth. You know you better than I know you. Whatever you want to say to God, if you don't really have anything to say, that's fine. If you just want to introduce yourself to him, whatever it is, you do you. I'm going to give you just a minute, and then I will pray. And we'll close out our service together. So let's come before God. I'll close in a minute. God, our hands are open and a sign to you of just letting some of this stuff go. God, there are people in this room, I'm sure of it, who they don't know what to do. They don't know where to go next. They've been struggling with this stuff for a long time. And God, I pray that you would move powerfully over this next month, that you would bring freedom and healing. God, that by your Spirit you would give direction, a prompting and urging to call that doctor, go visit that counselor, talk to that friend, share with that coworker what you're going through. God, because we cannot do this alone. We need you. And so, God, we just open our hands and give it to you. We are incapable of dealing with the darkness on our own. God, would you help us defeat the lie that we can? That we can fight this on our own, that we're big enough and strong enough. God, we're not. We're humans. Just doing our best. So God, I pray that for those who just need to give their life over to you, just to say, God, I don't know where to go from here, I give this to you. Maybe some just need to, for the first time, put their faith in you and join some of the others who are being baptized in the coming weeks. Maybe that's for someone here. But God, we trust that you will take this from us, walk us through this season as you have so many others. But God, if there's something you want to teach us through this season, God, would you give us a peace and a joy that doesn't make sense in the midst of a dark season? God, for those who are coming in here wrestling with this stuff, my heart breaks for them. I pray for them. God, I pray that you would set them free. Jesus, we thank you that your sacrifice on the cross makes all things possible. That we don't have to walk in darkness forever. We don't have to walk this world alone. We trust you. It's in your name we pray.